Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors. Wherever you are in the world, I do hope you're having a good day. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. This is episode 68. Today on the podcast, I was immensely pleased. It was a pleasure and an honor to have ST Rappaport on. She is a relationship photographer, as well as being a podcast host. Her podcast is called Life Picks Relationships. I have to say, I did get some great insight to what she does, because I didn't have any idea what a relationship photographer was. So please, sit back, enjoy the podcast, and yeah, if you have a little bit of time, please subscribe and have a great day. Peace. Well, here we go. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Ooh, this is episode 68. That's one away from the naughty one, but still. Today, I am very privileged to have ST Rappaport on. I hope you got that right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is a relationship photographer, as well as being a podcast host. The name of her podcast is Life Picks Relationships. And yes, how are you today, Esty?
So excited to be here speaking with you. I just love this. You've got an amazing energy and it's such fun. We haven't even started and I'm like loving every second.
What can I say? It's caffeine and adrenaline. That's what keeps me going through the days. You know what, like, seeing as you're a photographer, and look, most people are like, so how did you get into photography? Now, tell me this, what camera do you use? Are you a Canon person, Nikon, Sony? What is your camera of choice?
I am Canon through and through.
They got you early. They got
you early. Oh, yes.
dare I say, what made you choose Canon? Was it just like, that was it, and that was what you fell in love with? What made you go with Canon?
So I think it was, like, photography was something I was my whole life into it, and when I was younger, I just, like, had this thing, like, I think Canon is better. Yeah. You know, like, it could be, like, 6 years old or something, and then I just stuck to it. But then afterwards, as I went and got trained by many people, I never went to school for it, but I took, like, a lot of, like, private lessons or courses in photography. And then I would, like, see all the other people's cameras that were there were my teacher's cameras. And I was like, no, I like Canons better. Like, I would compare the two and, like, do my own little evaluation and review of the products and decide that I liked Canon.
But Canon is my, like, Canon is my brand. I'm sticking with it. Not going.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the thing. Like, sorry about that. Canon shooter all your life. So, like, this is, like, what was the sort of, what was that spark moment when I love photography?
I don't think I have that moment because it was my whole life. Like, literally, I just loved the beauty of what you could do with photography. You could have, like, a blurry picture that doesn't mean anything, or someone, like, completely cut out and cropped and doesn't know what they're saying. Or you could have a stunning, sharp, clear picture that brings out emotions of the people in the picture and evokes emotions in yourself. It's just, I find it fascinating, the connection that there is in photography.
Ah, perfect. So out of, like, so far in this year, what has been your most exciting picture you've taken? Do you have one yet?
Well, this year has been a bit interesting, as you know, so yeah. There have been a whole lot less photo shoots.
Yeah.
But the most interesting one, I think I would say the most interesting one was the first one I did after Corona, just because I was so excited to go and do a photo shoot. It wasn't even anything that special, but it was, like, in a park not far from where I live, like, really close. But I never heard of it before. And my client told me about it. And there wasn't a lot of people there. I was like, okay, this is going to be my favorite spot. It's, like, so close to where I live. And there's no one here. And no one knows about it. So that got me really excited. The fact that I had a great location and a great client who, like, literally comes to me every year, if not more than that. And And it was right after Corona. So although it wasn't a specifically special picture, the whole situation made it really special.
Ah, perfect, perfect. So you know how people do landscapes, like still street photography, like you're just doing predominantly sort of client work. Like I'm talking about pictures for fun for yourself. Or is it you do all of the above?
Yeah, I don't even just do clients. I only do couples. I only do relationships. I used to do just all people, models, and for companies and things like that. But I loved the connection and the emotion that there was in there. And in a committed relationship or a marriage, you have that emotion so much stronger than anyone else. So that is what I do. Yeah. And you know what? We take it like even further. We take the favorite picture that they love, that shows what they want in their relationship always, and they hang it up on the wall like a vision board so they could always see it and train their brain that this is what they want.
Excellent. So here's the thing. Now, I understand photography. I understand relationships, but like this is like what made you marry the two together? Excuse the pun, but still, it's like, yeah, but yeah, what did that? What, how?
Yeah, so I guess it's just my two passions. One of photography, I should really say three. One of photography, one of connecting with people, because I just love this, like now, like getting to speak, meeting a complete stranger and having this awesome conversation like this, I just love. And relationships, watching people. From when I was little, another thing I did when I was little was just watch people. Literally, I'd like go to weird places and just like observe people. Like my favorite place is the airport, watching how people are, some are really nervous, some are really excited, why they want to go, you know, all those sorts of things. So in a relationship, you could try to figure out and try to understand why is this relationship working or why is it not? Why did they get together? So when you take that and the emotions of pictures and just everything, all the things I like, let's just mix them in and do I love all day.
Excellent. So like this has been I was gonna say, yeah, watching people at the airport. If this was done today when you were a child, yeah, you might end up on the list. That's another story. But still, but like yeah. So the relationship side of things, what kind of made like what's sort of really sparked your interest in the whole side of that? Because look, when it comes to relationships, everyone goes, yeah, I like relationships because of blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. It's kind of just very much on a one-to-one basis with whoever they're in a relationship with, be that friends, lovers, or like parents. But what made you sort of look into it on that sort of, I want to understand other people's relationships?
I'm a really curious person and need to understand how everything works. So, like, I meet strangers and just like shoot questions away at them, and they're just like really taken aback. And I have to like explain that, sorry, this is like nothing against you. I just need to know what's going on here. So, if I see a couple and they're two people, and I find the human psychology fascinating. And how people work is fascinating. Like, why are some people motivated and some people successful and some people are just depressed? To me, that's just like fascinating. I need to find out why that's like that and what happens. So when you take two people, two human beings who are two fascinating creatures or things or whatever they are, and you put them together, then that becomes double as interesting.
So, I
Yeah.
don't need to give any names or anything like this, but who, like, what was your sort of most interesting couple you like taking pictures of?
Most interesting couple. It's a really tough question because I think all my couples are interesting for their own ways, you know. But one that really stands out, I don't know if I would describe them as interesting, but it always sticks in my mind is, actually, before I did relationship photography, I was like thinking of doing it, and I wanted, like, I was like deciding like how I should move out of the regular photography I was doing into that. And I started a blog on relationships. Like, I would take all sorts of relationships, not just couples. And I would get all different couples, like all different types of relationships, like mother, daughter, or friends, and pictures, and write about that. So one of the first pictures I did was this picture of, actually, it was my grandma with, she, after my grandfather died, she remarried. And they were like older already, like 70s or something, and they were madly in love. Like, both of them had, their spouses died a few years before, and they were like really depressed, not depressed, but like really just sad, and weren't like doing anything major, and they found each other, and they loved each other, and they explored the world. They like literally gave life to each other, and they just cared about each other and connected with each other. Like, if you'd ask them, like, do you want something? They would say, if she wants it. Like, not because he's taking advantage or not being unhealthy sort of thing, but because they really, really cared about it. And if she wasn't going to eat it, like, it wasn't going to be enjoyable to just eat it by yourself, you know? So it's not exactly a typical couple that I took pictures of, but just the concept of seeing a couple being so old and having such an amazing relationship, and that it's so possible, I was like, okay, this is my inspiration.
So you're out to get what they have, basically old gray, and like, yeah, be with that special one, for like, yeah.
Yeah, actually, my grandfather like died a few months ago, like in January or something. Oh. And I went to my grandma yesterday and like gave her a photo album. Like, we made her of all different, like, from both families, because both families got along very well, and like pictures of her and her like late husband. And she was like getting so emotional. She's really not an emotional person, but the fact of like seeing that person who gave her so much life for the last like 12 years of her life, for however long they were married for, then it just like really evoked her. And like, I was like, yeah, okay, this is a good relationship.
hey, we can only hope to have good relationships or great relationships like that ourselves.
Extraordinary relationships, I like to say, okay?
No.
That's for me.
Like, this is the thing, no doubt you're in an extraordinary relationship yourself.
Actually, I like to make a big, huge disclaimer that I'm not. Oh. And instead, what I do is I get to pick out all the information from everyone else by being the host of the podcast and finding out what makes their relationships extraordinary and getting the tools from them. Yeah. So I'm not the expert. So, okay.
So you, let's say you're on some type of covert research method to like find that perfect relationship for yourself at this present time.
Yeah, almost.
I see through you, girl. I see through you.
Do you?
It's like, I'm doing this podcast relationship. Yeah. It's like, I'll take a snippet from there. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, take a snippet from there.
That I really don't like. Happens sometimes too.
It's like, red flag, red flag, red flag. And so all of a sudden you're like, aha, these are the... So, like, how many podcasts do you think you're going to be like, I've got the winning formula?
Don't know. Maybe it'll happen at some point, and then we'll have that to give to everyone.
There you go. So, okay. I'm liking the fact that you are sort of looking at what makes relationships tick, what makes them sort of special, what makes them extraordinary, as you would say. Like, that's the thing. Like, out of, like, how many couples have you taken pictures of as a relationship photographer so far?
Lots. Don't know. Dozens, more than, I don't know, over 100 or something.
Over 100.
Almost about 100, I would say.
Now, one of the things I've got to say I do love about photography over, say, paintings at times. Like, with paintings, let me just explain. With paintings, you have a sort of, the artist can put their sort of slant on the situation. like what they see, but then they can sort of either romanticize it or demonize it from their sort of standpoint and point of view. But with photography, it's a snapshot in that precise moment. And before, like, it's when you're just doing the raw photography, it's that moment of truth. Like, I know some people go, well, you can do things in Photoshop or whatever. No, I'm just talking about when you take that picture in that moment, it's the truth of them. Like, there's some things you might be, you thought you can hide this, but no, I think it's the truest of capturing someone. I don't know how you feel about that, but yeah.
Yeah, I like to use that to my advantage, or I should say my client's advantage, mm-hmm. by helping them get to that moment of truth, even if it's for 1 minute, 30 seconds, capture that feeling, and then they have it on their wall. Like you said, it's a moment of truth. So even if their relationship isn't going so well, they got into a fight, things are going wrong, but they know what they want and they see it every day. It's part of their life and they know it's possible. So it happened for 30 seconds, make it happen for longer.
Understood. So with this, like, is it a case of how are you going to take this forward? Is it a case of you're just doing what you're doing right now, or is there some type of sort of bigger picture at hand?
Excuse me. Yeah, so actually, besides for just doing relationship photography and write the podcast and everything else, I was like doing it and I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I love it, but it's very basic. You have this picture on the wall, but it's not going to really solve your problems. So I wanted to do something else with it. Like you said, right? Take it further. And I do what is called creative journal expressive arts together with my clients also.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a method that works with the non-dominant hand.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you... I'll explain to you how it works, and I think you'll get a better understanding of it.
Okay.
There's two sides of the brain, right? The right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. Now, each side of the brain is in charge of the opposite side of the body, right? Now, the left side of the brain, sorry, just completely lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. The left...
Yeah, you were in right there.
What? I was like, out of none of them, like in the outer rim around it all. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So left side of the brain is all the logic stuff, like math, reading, writing, etc. And the right side of the brain is in charge of the creative stuff, art, music, drama. And it's also in charge of emotions. Mm. So when you write with your non-dominant hand, you get direct access to your emotions and subconscious mind. Okay. Now, you could use this to your advantage in so many ways, because so many times we like want to do something. We're trying to figure something out, make a decision, trying to heal something from the past, create our future, whatever it is. But we have all these reasons and outside noise and so much like excuses stopping us from actually being able to go and do it. So yeah. When you write with your non-dominant hand, you could get those answers without all those reasonings in the way.
I see. So basically it is, how can I say, it is going from sort of saying, but it's like helping you do a kickoff point into doing. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, exactly right. It's not going to solve your problems, but it's going to give you all the answers that you need to go and figure it out. So if going back to relationships, if you are in a fight with your partner and you don't know how to get out of it, you could journal about it, get your answer, and then go and do it. So yeah, you could journal from today to tomorrow and not do anything. It will release your emotion, but you won't get anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So have you put this into practice yourself for like certain stuff in your life or everything like that?
Or yeah, well, I wasn't going to just go and bring it to my clients without try and get myself, you know? So when I heard about it, like someone was staying by me and she told me about it, I was like, okay, this is way too cool. I write and I get my answers. I need to know about this. I decided to go first to some sessions by her and see what it was like. And literally from the first session that I went there, I saw what answers it gave me, like made me realize a whole bunch of things just that was like flying at my work and the way I was dealing with my emotions and like all those sort of things. And I was like, this is way too cool. I just loved it right away. And so after a few more sessions, I just went to get trained the real properly so I could go and do this.
Nice. So what was one of the answers which surprised you?
One of the answers which surprised me. I get so many answers all the time. Do you think I remember what was from the first time?
Well, like this is the thing. Like maybe, like if it was a very sort of like, oh my God.
It's like, oh, like a really big surprising thing, yeah, that I didn't know of before. Yes, I think this is like maybe surprise you, like not really want to, like some people find this very hard to accept this sort of thing, but I always like to travel.
Yeah.
I love to travel, I should say. I think I use that word a lot, but I'm very like either in one direction, either like I love something or I hate something. But I love traveling, literally, like the adventure and meeting new people and seeing cultures, right? Getting to watch more people. Yeah. And, but like, it wasn't like really happening so much in my life. Like I wasn't traveling that much, like a bit, but not majorly. Mm. And through this process, I realized that it wasn't just a want, like, okay, I want ice cream. For myself, for my inner child, if you know anything about those stuff.
I'm not, like, I studied a slight bit of psychology in university, but let's say that was more on the cognitive side, so.
Okay, so we, like, also do, like, all, like, trauma work from, like, childhood and all that sort of stuff, and so from my inner child, if we want, we could go into that afterwards, but just to explain, really needs to travel. Now, it sounds crazy. Most people don't get it, but it's a thing like people need sleep and people need to eat and you need to go and take care of yourself and do things that you like to do. So for me, traveling, and I found it like fascinating, like, okay, so it's not just something that I want and people could go and tell me, hey, you're crazy. You just traveled 2 weeks ago and now you're going to go travel again somewhere. No, this is a real need that I need. And once I knew that, I was able to go and make sure it really happened until Corona came and locked me up in my house for many months. But yeah, so that was an interesting way to see, because it gave me a different view of it. Like before, I would like feel bad if I was traveling somewhere, like, I don't know, what am I doing to my clients if I can't, like, obviously some, I'm going to arrange things accordingly, but is it like not nice or other making other people really jealous? But now I'm like, hey, no, for me, it's a need. Some people don't like it. Like, I really don't care. Like, I'll travel with nothing. I'll figure it out. Eat apples if I need, you know, like, I just need to go travel.
Like, you know what? I totally understand that. I get it. I think it sort of all humans have this need where they need to go through some type of hardship, if you get what I mean, and they also have this need for adventure, hence the reason why we're everywhere on this planet. And without that, I feel that's where some people's lives fall short. If they don't have it, like something, when I say hardship, I mean just having to face a challenge where it pushes them out of their comfort zone, finding out what helps them grow as an individual. And basically that sense of adventure, just like knowing, like finding out what is over the horizon. There are some people which are like, I'm not going to travel away from my hometown. Why the hell do I need to see what's beyond the horizon? But more like when people do that and when they push themselves into their places of discomfort, that's where I've observed where people tend to grow and be the most satisfied with their lives. And I think that might stem from a bit of that in yourself. So yeah, always chasing the horizon.
Yes, always. Yeah, I think because we never stop. We're either going up or going down. So if you're not looking past that, looking over the horizon, trying to grow, trying to become better, or deal with those challenges, right? That's also growing in a different aspect. Maybe you didn't specifically ask for it, but it is a way of growing. Then you're going to be moving upwards. If not, then yeah, you'll just be going down.
Yeah, I know. Well, 2020, the delightful year, which has basically put pause on a lot of people's dreams of traveling, dreams of doing certain projects, dreams of starting their businesses, and all kinds of things. But I would say, yeah, use this. Like, I would say to anyone, use this time we have to improve a skill set might be lacking, and then 2021. I would say, fingers crossed, Easter off. I think the world will get more back to normal.
I don't know.
No, that's why I said fingers crossed. Put it this way. I was, when did I write off this year in regards to normality? I would say beginning of May, I was like the way they're talking, it's not looking like it's going to get to normal anytime soon. End of May, I was like going, yeah, 2020, like from a business point of view, is done. If you get what I mean, I was just like, yep, it's not happening. I'm not being pessimistic or negative. It was just like, yeah, that's what I could realistically see. And now I'm looking at the world right now and thinking, okay, Easter time next year, I think that will be the realm when it will be more or less normal. And I think Trump was right about Easter, but he was wrong about the year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at this. Like, Easter 2020, the whole country is going to be back to normal. And I'm sitting there. Like,
yeah, right. I wish.
Yeah. Then we've got a furlough scheme over here. So I was put on furlough beginning of April. I was like, and I heard Trump's report where it's like, yeah, back in Easter, I was like going, no, it ain't going to happen. But no. 2021, yeah. And I think you almost already get on stage. I went, I told you Easter. Yeah, but it's now 2023. What do you say? Come on, Trump.
But, not 2023. You can't push it that far. Sorry. My brain can't wrap its mind around that.
Oh, no. But I think, yeah, 2021. I think things will be definitely getting back more to the realm of normal with a slight twist here and a slight twist there. But yeah.
Like wearing net masks will just be the norm for the next 10 years, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've been doing it in Japan for the longest time where they wear masks just out to be polite if they're sick and stuff like this, so they don't spread it to people. But yeah. Putting on the mask, I won't lie, in the UK, they've recently put into law that you've got to wear a mask on public transport and going into shops. No excuses. And when I first put on the mask and stuff like this, it's just the whole lower part of your face just feels overly hot. You can't, that's like, oh, okay, yeah. But it's what you got to do for now, do it now, and then in 18 months' time, that should hopefully be a thing of the past.
I hope. Yeah, England put that in really late. New Jersey had that in from the beginning.
You know what? Yeah, no one's done this. How can I say it? No one has done this well, except
me. Yes, yes, no one.
Yeah, just like,
well, there's no way to do it well.
Yeah, you're right. There is no way to do it right. But you're just like, oh, come on now. You know that, we've gone through here, we've done this, we've seen that. Just go, put masks on, do this, do that. Done. But, I think over here, I don't know if you received the news about people coming from Spain now have to be...
Yeah, I heard that.
And there's part of me was like, yeah, come on, guys. You knew about Spain and you knew about Italy. So, maybe not sort of like, hey, let's go to Spain. Maybe not a good idea. Just say. That's another story. Yeah.
Do you think you'll go down into another lockdown?
Yeah, like this is the thing. I am not 100% sure. There's part of me which thinks it will. There might be a second wave, but it's just as they try to open up more and more stuff, I think it's a case of it. There is part of me which thinks it might be a never. Like I'm sort of 60-40, saying 60%. Yeah, we'll go into another lockdown, but 40%, it'll be fine. But I would say we are currently in July. If the weather stays good up until September, I think it'll kick it down the road. I think the real test will be when the weather starts to get bad and they're trying to get more and more people into offices. Right now, I think it's a very much a voluntary, like anyone who works in the office, I think it's a voluntary thing at this present time. Like the office is there. This is how I've heard it from other people. They say the office is there to be used, but we're not going to be putting pressure on you to go into the office. Other industries, there are other industries, and I've heard stories about so-called social distancing and how that's working. Not
Yes.
at all.
Yes. These rules make me super happy.
Yeah, like.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, no, this must have been a very challenging time for yourself because like you're taking pictures of people in relationship, definitely outside of your family, like group and network. And what sort of contingencies have you like come up with on your photography side of things? I know you've got your blog still, which you're
So
doing.
blog, I don't do the blog anymore. That was like just a short-term project. It was just the podcasting, which is great. I could continue it from home at any time. And I focused much more on the coaching, the CJA coaching instead. We did many more sessions. Like we did those sessions instead and did like photo shoots afterwards, just to do it like that. So I've been able to make it work. I think that, I guess it's easy for me to say because like, I have my own schedule. I run my own life. I don't have any boss on top of me. But I really believe that people who came into the situation trying to make it work, it's not easy for anyone. And some people had real hardships. They had real death. They lost their jobs. It was very painful. But if you came with this mindset that it's okay, you're going to make it work, then you found a way to make it work. And if not, then depression, suicide, divorce, and all those other things came about.
Yeah, no, like yeah, that's one of the things. Like there's two things which I found very interesting, which they didn't really sort of talk about with regards to like the situation as it is. One, like physical health, and two, mental health. They like both of those things seem to like sort of drift away because they went, yeah, when it came to physical health, like oh yeah, they went these people, this group of people are high risk. Blah, 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 and they kind of left it at that, but they weren't like going exercise like. And like I say this for the UK, and from when I was, like news reports I've seen in come out of America, no talk about that. And same thing with it comes to mental health here in the UK, and from what I've seen over in America. Please, if I'm wrong about what I'm saying about America, if it's an assumption on my part, let me know. Yeah, happy to.
You're completely right. Like I kept on saying that, and there's no like right or wrong, so I don't want like anyone to like not to get like well political about it and say like there's different things, but I don't know if it's better that people die because of corona versus people b die of suicide. Like it's not like who are we to decide, and we're just destroying more people. There's some of the rules have really been pathetic. Like I know New York, not New Jersey, but in New York, day camps for little kids who go home every day and come back to camp every day can be open, obviously with a lot of rules and a lot of things, but they are going home, they're meeting people, and they're coming back to camp versus sleepaway camps where people are contained in a place for 4 weeks. They should, where no one goes out, no one meets new people, they're in quarantine together. All that could not open. Now, if everybody takes tests before they're tested for coronavirus and they come, personally, I think that's more safe than day camps being open. Like the rules just don't make sense. And no one really knows what they're doing, and it's just political base why they're doing everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, like this is the thing. I think, as you say, no one's doing it no one's really doing it properly. Everyone's made the mistakes. I think with regards to the sort of mental side of things, I think there should have been much more of a consideration right there. With regards to, like, yeah, people need support groups, and not everyone's going to have, like, you can say, oh, but everyone's got the internet, but that's not necessarily true. And look, trust me, I've been the veteran of many a sort of Zoom call now, and I can tell you this, there are times where Zoom will just freak out and it will stop working. So if you're trying to get support and help and you can't get by the internet or whatnot, or there are certain people you don't want, like you only can speak to certain people and you're cut off from them, it's very hard. It's very tough. It's not easy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not the same as in person. And if you know anything about mental health, then you know that people who get anxious or depressed or whatever it is, they're not going to go and reach out and call other people for help. They're going to need those people to come to them. And I'm not like here to say what's right, what's wrong. There's like all those debates about that, but the current situation is not at all supportive in any which way for any sort of mental or physical health, like you said.
No, I agree. So
that's why I think if we could like move it like slightly more positive, just because like I'm feeling myself is that's why I love what I do, is because this journaling thing, it's not people and there's nothing like connecting with a person in real life, but the fact that you could journal and you could release your emotion literally just scribbling with your non-dominant hand, because that's like going straight from your brain right out onto the paper, is a very good release of emotion. So if anyone's at home listening to this during quarantine, whether it's first wave or second wave or whatever it is, they're just frustrated and they want to let out all that emotion, try it. Take a marker, take paper, and scribble. You'll feel a real sense of release afterwards. And oh my goodness, much lighter, because it's not all inside you anymore.
I hear you. With regards to, you started your podcast, from what I've seen, you started your podcast this year. Is that correct?
That is correct. I've been doing it, I think, since February or something. So not really long. But I love it. And I love being on podcasts. So I've been on quite a bit. And I also record, the way I do it is I record like 1 month and then I don't record for 3 months. So like I've recorded for like many times, many months ahead. So even though it's like only aired about 30 episodes or something, I've recorded almost double.
Okay, excellent. So you basically do batch recording on a couple of days, say, like you're like, okay, Saturday and Sunday, this is my batch recording days for the podcast. For this, like for the next X amount of weeks, and then you go at it.
Yeah, I usually do it more like 2 or 3 weeks or something, but yeah, do it for afterwards for like 3 months. So I love it. I get to meet new people and learn tons of new things. It's so much fun. Whoops, so much fun. Whoever didn't hear me.
No, I heard you. It's all good. It's all good. So with the podcast, is it just audio or are you putting on video as well?
So at the moment, it's not video yet. Hopefully sometime soon it will get on YouTube, but I'm not promising that. I'm not like, I don't want to say that, oh yeah, it's going to be there sooner than like that person that it has 3 years later. It's like in my mind, but I'm not saying it to the world yet. But what I do is I do cut a lot of the clips of the videos and all over social media. So like my whole TikTok is like all podcast videos, like clips of it. So if that's what you're interested in, you can go and find that there.
Oh, and wait, question. How has TikTok been working for you with regards to podcasts? Because like, this is the thing. I think it's a misconception, but the conception is TikTok is just mostly, 12-year-olds and sort of early tweens doing their thing. And the rest of it is just weird wilderness of God knows what.
I heard someone say just a few days ago that I don't know if it's true or not, so don't like take my word for it, but for sure the concept of it is that 30% of users on TikTok are 40 years or older.
Wow.
Maybe it was 30 years or older, something like that. But basically there's a very big percentage of it is not only kids. It's really, obviously it depends, right? The algorithm's going to work for you if you're going to go and like and watch all the kids stuff, then that's what's going to show up on your feed. But if you are into more educational stuff and you want more educational stuff and really learn from it, like there's totally like even just like cool things that you could learn from. Don't like get caught in it and like stand there for 7 hours, because it's very possible. But I think that social media could be used for the right way if we know how to use it in the right way. So yeah.
Excellent. No, just basically I'm curious because with that, like I've got a TikTok account and I was like, oh yes, should I, like, and I know what you mean about getting into a TikTok spiral.
Yeah.
Just like, what's happening?
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, you should try it. It's fun. It's good. It's different. It's different than other platforms. I like it.
Okay. Great. Great. So, okay. So what, with the podcasting, what did you find the sort of greatest challenges to start at first?
So I like been thinking about it for quite some time, but not like really thinking about it the same way I'm thinking about putting it on YouTube, but not really doing it, like not really thinking about it. Just like one day I'll do it sort of thing. And for some reason, I don't know what happened. I just like woke up one day and said, okay, I am doing this and I'm just making this happen. And literally I just did it. So I was like, I don't care, whatever happens, I'm doing it. And I could always like adjust later. So let's say in the beginning, I only did one episode and now I do two episodes a week or whatever it is. And I think there was a very big challenge in the fact that I didn't launch it properly. So I didn't get that first exposure right away. Mm-hmm. Even to like my current audience on like social media and things like that, I thought about it a little bit more before, I would have been a bit more prepared. But other than that, it's been just really enjoyable and really fun. Like my whole mindset and my goal of doing it was like, it doesn't have to be perfect, just to get it out and we'll learn as I go. Like in the beginning, if you listen to my first few episodes, they are horrible. The information that people get, that people like provide, are amazing. Yeah. But the way I talk to them and my questions, it like doesn't sound like a conversation. It's really interviewish. But I was like, I know I'm starting. Anyone for feedback? Literally everyone who like listened to my podcast and told me they liked it or they didn't like it or whatever it was. I was like, I need feedback from you. And even like, I remember one of my first guests listened to like a few of my episodes, and as soon as I got onto the Zoom call with her, she was like, so I was listening to a few of your episodes and I think you should change this and this and this. And I was like, you're right, thank you for telling me, because I really wanted to know, I really like wanted to make it better. So yeah, my biggest challenge wasn't really the challenge, it was because I shifted out of that mindset of like, it's okay, whatever happens happens, I'm just gonna go and make it. So roundabout way to answer your short question.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So like with the podcast, is it a combination of interviews and you just talking, or is it just purely interviews?
And yeah, so I do just interviews because I'm not the relationship expert. I can't say anything about it. So I could get other people who are and get the relationship from them, the information from them.
Ah, perfect. So with the people you've been interviewing, I'm having a quick browse through the list right now, to having a look at that. Like, oh, that person, this person. Like, is there anyone who sort of stood out to you and gone, oh, they've given me a real inspirational nugget or of advice or anything like that in conversation?
Yeah, actually a recent one that was just released, a whole lot of them, I should really say, but really a recent one was Dr. Ari Snyder, or however you pronounce his last name. I am so bad with names. yeah, he was really interesting. Just like, I remember having a conversation with him, and sometimes it's like, okay, just like, it's interesting, but like, whatever, or I really disagree with you. I had quite a few of that, and I like was almost not sure if I shouldn't post it, but I'm like, no, we want all different perspectives on here. he said many fascinating things. First of all, he studied under Dr. Gottman. I don't know if you heard of him ever.
No, I have not.
Okay, he's American. So like in America, most people in this field know about it. But he's a researcher of relationships, as in he studied relationships and how they work and what, how, like literally like breaking it down and how people could go and do it. Not just like, okay, I think this and based on other things. And he, so he was one of his like really close students and was shared like a lot of great things of his things. Like one thing that was really interesting that he said was when your partner talks to you, like literally, I'm gonna give his example, okay? You're sitting on the couch, you're reading a book and you're interested in the book. You don't want anyone to annoy you, right? All of a sudden your partner comes in and says like, hey, what's that book about? Okay, just cause like they like were bored or they just wanna have a conversation with you, whatever it is. Now you're the one reading the book and you don't wanna be interrupted, right? But if you say something like, it's just a boring book about history or something, that is better than ignoring your partner. Because although it seems like it's negative, you're showing your partner that I noticed you and I care about you and I'm responding to you. Obviously, it's not the best as in like putting down the book and like going and having a whole conversation with them. But answering to those little bids that your partner gives, like your partner sticks out their hand or does something and you respond to them, is much better than just like ignoring them completely. And another thing he said was like similar a little bit to what we were speaking about before, is that you always want your relationship to be dynamic. People complain that their spouses aren't the same person they were when they got married. But you weren't either the same person you were when you got married. You know, like this is a changing thing. And as long as you come with that mindset, this is dynamic and we're changing together, then you can make your relationship extraordinary.
Excellent. Excellent. So with regards to the podcast over the next, say, 3 or 4 months, let's put this forward until Easter 2021. What would you like to see happen?
Well, I would love for the audience to grow, people to know more about it. It's still fairly new, so not that famous yet, but I really do think there's potential there. And I would love, like I'm already getting back from people who really tell me how much like specific insights about specific things have really changed their way they view things. Change the relationships, the way we respond to things. So if I could get more feedback on that, of what people want more and what I could try to get out of people more, because I can't give them that information, then that would be great. Like, yeah, so I guess it's the growing the audience and getting more specific to what the audience wants, so that way I could give that to them.
Excellent. And same question for regards to your business. The relationship. We've been talking about it. But with regards to the like relationship photography. Excuse me.
Yeah. So I'm gonna combine that question together with the CJA because I mixed the two of them together. The Creative Journal Expressive Arts situation. I know it's a really long name. I would love if people would know more about it. Cause like now you speak to anyone, most people haven't heard about it. Yeah. It's a method, a technique that's been around for probably 40 years or so. And when I find someone who knows about it, like I get really excited because like no one hears about it. So just for more people to know about it and try it. Obviously it's not something for everyone. I don't think there's one technique that solves everyone's problems.
Yeah.
No. That's not what I'm saying. But for people to know that there's another tool in their toolbox, they could try it. They're frustrated. Instead of screaming at everyone around them, they could go and scribble that out. See what happens. Not harming anyone in the process. And it doesn't cost you anything. So I'd love that. So just trying to spread that more, like going on podcasts like this or in helping people become more aware of it.
Yeah. You know, this is the thing. I think with the podcast, the way like your sort of work ethic regarding the podcast, like, I've got X amount like ready to go. I think that's like very good because, yeah, one, consistency is always the thing. Consistency will lead to greater success. I do, like, with regards to putting the podcast up on YouTube, I say, yeah, you can do it, but I think with regards to the CJEA and, like, basically along that line, I think you should start up a podcast, like, I think you should start up a YouTube channel with regards to that, getting the information out to them and basically help drawing people into the podcast that way. But it's just an extra sort of vein of information you can put out there to help people on a sort of day-to-day basis. I don't know if that would be something you may look at, and, like, you know what I mean? It's your business, and by all means, I'm sure.
That is really interesting. I like that advice. Thank you for that. I could, like, see myself doing that in the near future. Like, obviously not like today, tomorrow, but I will let you know when I get that out there, because I'm going to do that at some point.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah. If you do the whole batch recording as well, like, yeah, you definitely
could have. Do the same with YouTube. Exactly. Yeah.
So free you up. And, like, yeah, I think
it's question. What do you think, once you're giving me the advice on that, how long do you think an average listener would want, like a watch, I should say, I'm used to saying listeners, but someone would want, like, a 5-minute exercise, a half hour, what sort of thing?
Like, this is, like, with regards to YouTube is sometimes a very different beast on how people behave with regards to listening. Like, when I look at my analytics for some of the podcasts, like, sometimes it will just vary from people, like, dropping out after 5 minutes and then they listen to the podcast more, or it will go all the way through the whole podcast. But depending, like, if the, I would say, experiment with the information you're putting out there. Like, do it from, I would say, always aim for sort of 10 minutes as a minimum, and then basically see if you can double that up, or, like, put it up to half an hour, see what the response would be. But I would say experiment, see what's the right thing. But don't do it, like, I would say, don't do it for 5 minutes. You want them to sort of, like, really get that information in. And the whole thing is, when you're talking, like, when you're condensing a lot of information in 5 minutes, you might be losing a lot of what that message is for that. So, yeah, if you can, like, try it with 10. But, yeah, double it up, see how it feels. But if it fits into half an hour, which you're comfortable with, it's half an hour. It's 20 minutes, it's 20 minutes. But yeah, and I'll say the only reason why I shy away from 5 minutes, I just feel the information you're trying to get across and just, like, basically the help you need to provide for people like this, I don't think the information can be conveyed in a 5-minute space, if you get what I mean. I'm just, that's my feeling. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the vibe I get.
Awesome. I like that. One more question. Yeah. How often would you recommend to post? See, one second, I'm cutting you off just to say, like, after my experience from the podcast and not, yeah, like, just jumping into it, I'm, like, preparing a bit for it. So all the advice I could get before will be great.
Like, this is the thing. You don't, like, this is, like, take the principle, or, like, the military principle of, like, slow, slow, quick, quick. Like, you don't need to, like, go in boots and all, like, going, yes, I must put out 4 or 5 episodes. Like, just start out with 1 episode. Like, put it out to your socials. See if it gets any sort of traction. If it is, like, there is a guy called, I don't know if you might know him, does finance, Grant Stephan, on YouTube. Like, you might not know him, but if you don't, he started out doing 3 episodes and he was, like, doing it, like, consistently and, like, stuff like that. What I'd simply say is do it once a week, see how it goes. And if there's something which happens in the world, which, you know what I mean, which you're like, okay, this is super relevant to what I do, do a special one-off episode, like, going, yeah, this happened, blah, 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 and just simply go, the reason why I'm doing this episode is because I normally batch record everything. if you're just like straightforward and clear with people, yeah, I don't think many people are going to have issues with that. There's going to be some people which, you know what I mean, the trolls of the world, which just want to be trolls. But I think if you did it, batch record it, release it once a week and had that going on. And if you want, and then if you do decide to want to do your podcast on YouTube as well, either do a, you can do a separate channel for that or put it on to your existing channel and go, right, this is my podcast and just take it from there. So you have a nice bank of content coming out on the regular. And if it gets the, if people, if it captures the imagination of the people, you'll get a following. I don't know how big or how small that following will be, but you'll get a following and just take it from there. And then it's all about the long road grinding out. So,
oh, yes. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. I really like that. I think I'm going to do that.
No problem. No problem. But on that happy note, if you could tell people how they can find you, where they can find you on the webs and stuff like that, that'd be great.
Yes. So you can find me social media, like TikTok, best place, Life Picks Relationships, easy as that, or Life Picks Relationships podcast. You'll find me there. And I actually am giving a free mini session to whoever wants the tools to get started with this coaching. You could go to lifepicksrelationships.as.me and book your slot, so I'll get to speak to you.
Perfect, perfect. What I'll do, I'll put all of the links in the description, the episode notes, so they can find you out there. Perfect. I'd like to say thank you, SD, for coming on today. You are having a star, a superstar, as they say. Ah, pleasure speaking to you. And yes, I'd like to say thank you to all of you out there, to all my friends, my life warriors. I hope you have a great day. Stay well, stay safe, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic, be all the positive bees you can be in this world and more. See you later. Peace. Aha. And we are.